Hey guys, this is Jason and Tyler. We're doing episode 43 of the
Episode 43 of the Leverage Podcast. It's one of the few times we actually know what episode it is.
Okay, so today we wanted to talk a little about diet and how it pertains to fitness and health and everything else that it is to be a complete man. Let's first talk a little about why this is important. I know this has been harped a lot on in the group. But let's just clarify here. So be healthy, obviously, for health reasons is very useful, right? But also for looks reasons, it's important because you're going to be judged on your first impression most of the time. And there's definitely studies out there that show that attractive people get preferential treatment. And your best bet for being better, more attractive is to look better. That means better fit, you know, not being overweight, not being, too weird looking in a certain way, underdeveloped in a certain way. So it's important for us to make sure that diet is a big part of that plan. So in addition to working out, which is a totally separate conversation that we're not really going to touch on today, although if you guys have questions about it, I'm happy to answer. I wanted to focus on how to make your diet better. And the biggest problem that with diet that I find is that most people think dieting is either a really extreme thing or they can't control it at all, right? It's like they don't have like an in between the middle. So I'm hoping to put together some principles for you guys to look at what's almost like the 80-20 rule of dieting. So this allows you to go out and drink every now and then, as long as you don't go crazy all the time and you kind of limit what type of drinks you drink. It allows you to eat kind of what you want, just in smaller portions or like lesser portions or more calculated portions. And it doesn't require intense, like, you know, label reading, at least while you're doing it, right? You have some little bit of wiggle room either way. What it does require is have some basic understanding of your macros, which are proteins, fats, and carbs, and to basically be able to generally calculate how much of each you're taking with your meals. This also will double as a way to talk about how you might do meal prep. Obviously, if you go out to eat all the time at like Whole Foods or like, you know, restaurants or whatever you're doing, it's going to be a lot harder to adhere to this because you're going to have to like calculate all the time.
So just to take a step back real quick, the reason why we wanted to focus on nutrition before fitness is because you can get a lot of the quickest gains from nutrition. Like Jason said, this is kind of the 80-20 approach to health in general, as well as improving your body composition. And the reason that is because what you're really looking to do is control your hormones. So when we look at how you put on fat, how you build muscle, why you retain fat, that really comes down to the hormones in your body, which are essentially just chemical messengers. So you can change your hormones the most by shaping your diet, and it's actually not as complicated as most people think.
So let's get into it then. So I'm going to share with you some things that I've been doing for a while now. Most people that know me know that I take meticulous spreadsheet notes, and I'm not asking you guys to do that. But I do think it's worth sitting down and kind of figuring out how much of stuff you can be intaking, so you kind of know roughly what you should be doing. So a lot of people know that your macros are protein, fats, and carbs, but not a lot of people know how those calculate into calories and how you calculate into percentages. So if you're looking at diets like keto diets, paleo diets, all these diets, they have like, you know, you can only eat X amount of percentage of your meal in carbs, right, for example. Or you need to have X amount of your percentage of meal in fat, right? So what does that actually mean? So let's talk a little bit about the math behind it, and I'll try to keep it as, like, you know, high level as possible so you're not bored. But basically, you could think of your fat, the number of grams of fat as multiplied by 9 as the kilocalories in fat kilocalories.
What does that actually mean, though?
So that means that if you imagine your daily diet intake, most average males probably take anywhere between 1,800 and 2,600 of calories a day. And yes, I understand there's different calories make up different types, which is why we're going to use the percentage cases here. But if you're within that range, generally you'll be functioning human beings. If you obviously you want to lose weight, you want to subtract about 500 calories a day, because that equals over a week is equal to about a pound a week. If you're trying to gain, you might try to add 500 calories a day, so you can gain a pound a week. That's the kind of like the general gist of it. So one thing that you might want to do is calculate your BMR, which is, correct me if I'm wrong here, Tyler, basic metabolic rate.
Basal metabolic rate,
right?
How many calories you burn at rest.
Yes. And if you lift heavy, this number goes up. If you run a lot, this number probably goes up. If you sit on the couch eating like potato chips and watching TV, this number probably goes down, right? So you want to make sure that you kind of just get a gist of what you're doing so that you can calculate everything else. You don't have to be like, you know, going to some sort of crazy science lab to measure this. Just get a ballpark idea, right? And then you can adjust as you see the results. Okay, so going back to calories. So fat, again, is about 9 times the number of grams of fat. So everything you look at, if you look at the back of your labeling, you're going to see it's going to have like 44 grams of fat, right? 44 times 9 is, you know, some number, and that's the number of kilocalories of fat that you're intaking for that particular item. And obviously, serving size is a really big deal here. You need to make sure you have a basic understanding of serving size. Personally, what I do is I calculate for the whole week, and I cook everything in the serving size. So that way, I don't have to calculate everything. I just have to calculate everything in that package. That way, I don't have to portion things out, or at least I don't have to think about it in that sense. I'll talk a little about that strategy a bit later, too. So carbs, whatever the number of carbs, you usually multiply by 4. And same thing with protein, you multiply that by 4. So, you know, so it's like 4-9-4 rule or 9-4-4 rule. I'm sure there's like a really easy way of remembering that. Okay, so what does that mean, though? So what I do is I list all the things I'm going to eat in a week. When I was shopping in New York, I was able to get delivery, which was nice because I could, not because of the convenience factor, but because I could calculate every single thing they had on their website and look at the nutrition facts and calculate all these things into the kilocalories of each item. What I would then do is add it all up. So I'd have like the total number of kilocalories in protein, fat, and carbs. And then also the total number of calories total, right? So you add them all up together. Then what you would do is you take a percentage, right? So how much of the total calories is carbs? How much of the total calories is fat? How much of the total calories is protein, right? And at the time I was doing keto, so I was really trying to keep my carbs under 50 grams, which is what they recommend to adhere to in keto. It actually varies per person, but that's just a good rule of thumb. So that's what I follow. And then everything else, I tried to get 80-20 in fat to protein. So that's just like kind of the way that keto is set up. You don't have to necessarily follow those percentages, but you can get a good idea of how like you shape what you buy, right? And everything else that you buy, you know, you got to look at it, how it adds and subtracts to this, right? This is why spreadsheeting is nice. But if you don't want to do spreadsheeting, you just get a better basic idea of how you do it. And then you try to portion appropriately. And I can kind of give you a good idea of like a maintenance diet a little bit later when we talk maybe specific types of diet. Do you have anything to add to this?
Yeah, just when you're thinking about these calorie counts and everything, it's important to remember that calories are a measure of energy, not of nutrition. So a lot of people focus too much on calories and ignore everything else. Where that's important, it's the first place to start, obviously, because if you have too much, you're going to gain weight, not enough, you're going to lose weight. But that's really the first part of the equation.
Let's talk a little bit about what type of foods that I get. So usually what I would do to start my meal prep is I would plan lunches. And I'm the type of guy that needs to put everything in Tupperware boxes and be able to take it out, heat it up, and eat it. Otherwise, I have a really tough time adhering to my diet. I imagine most of you guys are on the side of diet where you need to lose weight. If you need to gain weight, obviously, like I know Tyler had to gain weight for a really long time, and he was eating like, you know, triple meatballs at Chipotle.
Quadruple meatballs.
Yeah, exactly. Because he needed to gain weight, and he never seemed to be able to gain weight, right? Most of you guys are probably not that lucky. So you probably need to count calories just to like, you know, lose weight, right? So basically, what I did at meal prep is I took a look at the protein. And since I'm cheap, I want to save money too, right? I looked at what's on sale. And I try to find either like chicken, some form of chicken, sometimes it was chicken breasts. Most of the time it was chicken thighs. Sometimes a whole chicken, like, you know, sell various different things. Sometimes skin on, skin off. You know, I would take anything into account because I wanted to get it on sale. The next thing I would do after that is take in my vegetable count, right? And I would get as many vegetables in the week that I needed to do to make sure I hit my carb count load. Now, if you're doing a maintenance thing, you could definitely eat some like rice or some like pasta. You know, rice is generally better. I know, Tyler, you were talking about white rice being actually good for you. I don't know if you want to make an anecdote about that.
Yeah, a lot of times we hear that rice is bad because it's a carb. But if you look at white rice, it's actually a pretty much a pure carbohydrate source. The reason why other forms of carb aren't as good as for you is because they cause inflammation. rice has the shell of the actual rice hull removed. So that is where the part that they're called anti-nutrients. So essentially they prevent the absorption of other nutrients. So if you're having if you're having vegetables with rice and you're having like brown rice, then the hull of the brown rice will prevent the absorption of the nutrients from the vegetables. It's not a significant effect with rice. It's worse with things like wheat, which is where some of these gluten-free diets come from. I mean, there's a little bit of truth behind that. I know now that it's gotten popular, it gets blown up and it's gluten-free this, gluten-free that, but there is a little bit of truth behind the original idea. So if you have white rice, it's just an easy way to regulate how much carb intake you're getting. So like what I would do when I was trying to either maintain or gain weight is I would have less rice on my off days, and then when I was working out, I would have a lot more rice after I worked out based on what macro needs I had.
Yeah, that's a good point. We should definitely talk about split days of workout and not workout a bit later. Okay, so if you want to add rice to it, obviously you factor that into your carbs. So basically I hit my protein, and generally the rule of thumb is your lean body weight. So if you take your ideal body weight and then you multiply that by your ideal body fat. So let's say you're like, you think your ideal body weight is 160 pounds. And then you multiply that by, you think you're going to be at, let's say 12%. So that means then you subtract that by 160. So you're looking at 140 pounds, roughly 140, 141 pounds of ideal body weight. You usually multiply that anywhere between 1 and 2. I just use 1.5 because that's what I've used and it's kind of in the middle. But I've seen people go as high as 2, people go as low as 1 and be fine. It's honestly, you just gotta see what your body responds to. And that's the amount of protein that I want to get in grams, right? So then I would multiply that number times 4 to get the calories, right? So that would be that base calories. Then I would do carbs, and then everything else would be fat, right? So that means like butter, oil, and that's pretty much, and obviously fat in the meat itself. If you get like, 80, 20 ground beef, or if you get like some of the cheaper cuts of steak and, lamb or stuff like that. Or if you get like tuna or salmon, they oftentimes have more fat than that. So like you'd be surprised. Cause like if you're doing a keto diet, a lot of it is fat. Like it's actually hard to eat a lot of fat. I would have to put like helpings of like coconut oil in, which is the highest fat content of oil. And it just felt like I was just eating so much fat, right? Or like tons and tons of butter, right? Which is good if you like that stuff, but it's bad if you're just like, wow, I can't believe I need to eat more. So the next thing I would do is just look at different types of meals. So one thing I do about meal prep is I like very easy meals to prepare. I mean, I personally like cooking, so I would cook my dinner every day, but you definitely don't have to. And even if I did cook my dinner every day, one, because I'm trying to be healthy, so I'm avoiding like, high salt, high sugar, like a lot of things that I would like to put into my meals to make it taste better. I would avoid. So one thing that helped me out is I just started roasting everything in the oven. It's easy because you could oftentimes put it there. You set a timer, you forget about it. You can go do some emails. You can go watch some TV, whatever you want to do, be productive. And then you just come back and then bring it out of the oven and then you eat it, right? So when I was prepping for lunch, I would just cook all my chicken, right, in one pan. And that usually would take like, anywhere between 15 and 25 minutes, depending on how I'm cooking it. Then I would take all my vegetables. Something like spinach is a really good one. But I usually like roasted vegetables. Those leafy greens sometimes wilt a lot. So a lot of times it's broccoli, roasted broccoli, which is great. I hear that like, steamed broccoli is better for you, something about leaking nutrients. But I think for the most part, adhering to the 80-20 rule, you're going to get most of the good stuff from this broccoli, just eating broccoli in general. And you're going to save time by cooking it this way, unless you have a huge steamer, right? So choose whatever you want. Plus, I like roasted broccoli way better than steamed broccoli. I think it just tastes way better. Another things I would do is like broccoli raw, Brussels sprouts, anything like that, right? I put all that in there. I'd also make a bunch of eggs. I usually did like fried eggs, but you could boil eggs. You could do any sort of eggs just because eggs are cheap and they're an easy source of proteins and you can eat them as snacks. So in case you're like, I want to eat lunch and then I want to eat a snack at 2 p.m. or you want to eat a breakfast and then you want to eat lunch again, it's nice to just take those out and eat them and then eat something else.
And a quick note on eggs, it's a really good go-to breakfast. You could eat them every day. You could have 4 or 5 eggs. It's not ever going to do anything bad for you as long as it fits your macros. Sure. There's a lot of talk about the cholesterol in the egg yolk, and a lot of the latest research on it has shown that it's not really something to be concerned about. cholesterol is a chemical that your body produces endogenously, which means it produces on its own. So if you're getting more cholesterol from your diet, your body just downregulates and doesn't produce as much. So you can have a ton of cholesterol as long as it's from healthy sources and not processed foods. So eggs are a great example of that. And it's going to be really good for you because you'd be getting a ton of protein and no carbs.
This is actually a really good point because I actually have really high cholesterol. And one of the things I did wasn't to cut down on the eggs I ate or any of those cholesterol high foods, but it was actually to cut down on carbs because the inflammation caused a lot of my cholesterol rise. I don't know if that's for everybody, but I know that if you have high cholesterol, you might consider cutting down carbs in addition to whatever the hell your doctor recommends.
People kind of take this stuff and oversimplify it. It's kind of just what you would assume from common sense. So people think that eating fat makes you fat and eating foods with cholesterol raises your cholesterol, but they're forgetting the part that you metabolize these things. So eating fat doesn't necessarily make you fat. Same with cholesterol.
Cool. Okay. I'm trying to think where we should go from here. So
how to make your food taste good.
How to make your food taste good. Okay. So maybe, let me also talk about dinner. So I would prep dinner every day and then I would just, all I do is the same principles, right? I would just roast stuff. I would also eat some rice on the days I worked out. So I would eat 3/4 cup of rice, honestly. If you're eating more than 3/4 cup of rice, you're probably eating too much rice, to be honest. Unless you're really trying to gain, right? If you're trying to do some sort of crazy bulk or some sort of carb backloading, something like that, you probably only need 3 cups of rice a day. 3/4 cups of rice a day. So it'd be the same thing. I would take something like fish. I like to eat fish about twice a week just because it's good for you. It's lean protein. It's got healthy oils. And I like to mix up my protein sources. I know there's a lot of stuff out there that says that if you eat all you eat is chicken, it's not a high quality protein. Or if all you eat is meat, it's like blah, 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 blah. I don't know how much of it's true. So I just vary it. And if I vary it, I figure I'm good, right? You know, it's all fine. So I eat pork chops, lamb chops, cod, steak, whatever I can get my hands on, right? And I usually try to, what's nice about it is then I can just see what's on sale. It's great. So how do you make your food taste good? So one thing that you should do is you should get some kosher salt, honestly. It's fairly cheap. It tastes way better than regular salt, like table salt. And if you learn how to sprinkle it correctly, it can really season your food really well. You should get fresh ground pepper. Fresh ground pepper, way better than regular pepper. Just the fresh cracked pepper just tastes better, smells better, lasts better. It doesn't have a stale feeling. Your food will definitely taste better. I personally like red pepper flakes. I think that really helps add spice to your food. If you're not a spicy person, obviously you can remove it. That's pretty much all I do. You could get away with a lot with just those three items. You could also add things like some hot sauces and stuff like that. You got to be careful about that because some of them have sugar in them. I know some of you guys are trying to really limit the amount of sugar you intake. If you're on a maintenance diet or if you're just trying to be normal, there's nothing wrong with adding some sriracha, which has sugar in it, into your food to make it taste better. But just don't go overboard, obviously.
And even Tabasco, Tapatio, those don't have sugar, so you can have as much of that
exactly,
as you want.
Exactly. So, there's some of the things like that. But a lot of people think they got to add some sort of crazy spices to it, which is true. If you're Indian and you add all sorts of curry and stuff like that that they have in that continent that made them famous for their food, that's generally fine. But this is you need 3 ingredients in your house, right? You don't have to complicate things. It makes your life really easy. You can just spread it on everything. It makes it simple, simple, simple. So what I do is I'll take my meat and I'll obviously pan it dry and I'll season it with salt, pepper, red chili flakes, and I'll start putting that in the oven. Depending on the meat will depend on how you cook it, right? And then after that, about halfway through, I'll put leafy greens so that they cook in the oven too. So it's all one pot. It's a great. I don't have to clean. It makes my cleanup so much easier. I clean up one pot plus the bowl I use to eat it in. Super great, right? If you have root vegetables, if you're eating carrots, if you're eating heartier vegetables that are thicker, think of the thicker the vegetable, longer they need to cook, then maybe you put it in at the same time as the meat. That's it. That's it. And then I have a rice cooker to cook my rice if I want to eat rice. Sometimes I have mushrooms or something like that I want to put in at the end. Or sometimes I like onions in my food, flavoring as well. You can put that in there. That's pretty much it. You could pretty much roast everything. Roast everything.
So the important point is that when you use high quality ingredients and you stick to the basics, it tastes good and you don't really get tired of it. Like, when you're eating food the way that Jason does, you don't really crave the other unhealthy foods. You do initially because you're just used to it, but once you get used to this diet, like, it's enough variance in your diet and it's enough really good food that it's easy to maintain. And I think that's one of the most important parts. Like, it's easy to do and it tastes good. If you're even lazier than he is, which his work still requires a little bit of prep because, like, he enjoys cooking. Like, when I was just super busy, this is good for people who, like, if you're in college or if you work for a startup or if you just don't enjoy cooking, you can make it even simpler. So what I did a lot of was a crock pot. So I would buy, like, some grass-fed beef, pork, sometimes chicken thighs, chicken breasts if you add some moisture to it. Just throw it in the crock pot. You can add a little bit of the seasoning, the salt, pepper, red pepper flakes. You can just leave it there all day. It'll make your house smell good. And if you do a couple pounds of it, you can use that as your meat for the whole week. So you can put that into meal prep Tupperwares, which I think Jason's also going to touch on. But it's just a really easy way to get all your meat cooked at the beginning of the week. And then also for the rice, you can do that in a rice cooker. And there's a lot of rice cookers that actually have a built-in vegetable steamer. So you can just buy vegetables from the store. There's a lot of pre-cut ones you can get these days. A little bit more expensive, but super convenient. Just throw the vegetables on top of your rice. In 20, 30 minutes, you'll have healthy steamed vegetables and rice. And then if you have your crock pot, there's your meal there. It took less than 5 minutes to prep. So for people who say that they don't have time to cook, that's bullshit because it takes less time to do all that at home than it takes to go out and get fast food or whatever else you're eating.
That's a good point. Yeah, crock pot is and rice cookers are really valuable pieces, and you can actually even find recipes online now that'll like tell you all sorts of great ways to make that stuff.
Oh, and the other thing that I like to use is a Vitamix blender. So a Vitamix blender is a bit pricey, but you really got to think of it as an investment into your health. I know that sounds cheesy, but it's true. I mean, it's the easiest way to get more vegetables because you can do a protein shake, you can do a smoothie, and you can easily throw in 3 or 4 servings of vegetables and not even know what's there. I like doing a lot of spinach, kale, broccoli, even cauliflower, carrots. I mean, you can really put any kind of basic vegetable in a blender. Add fruit if it fits your macros. Otherwise, I just do a lot of protein powder. It's delicious. It completely pulverizes it, so you can't even tell you're eating vegetables. It's great.
Yeah, no, I know that Rob one time made me something. I was like, I don't know if I want my vegetables in liquid form, but it was actually pretty tasty.
Yeah, it sounded bad. It was like mint, green apples. What else was there?
Kale or something?
Pineapple. It sounded like a terrible combination.
And I like food, so I eat all, but like I generally don't like that stuff raw. But it was blended. It was good. Yeah, so basically, there's a lot of different strategies you could use, right? But the basic idea is make your meals in bulk, if you can. You're going to have a way easier time adhering to diets if you just pull a Tupperware out of your container, right? I know like people like TJ that are in college, maybe this is a little bit unfeasible because you're going to class and you have like meals paid for at your cafeteria, in which case you just got to have a little more willpower. This is where, you know, making bets can help. You know, I made a bet to lose 10 pounds, and I love late night tacos. And I went to the taco truck and I was like, it's not worth my $1,000. That's what I said. So I walked away. Those things, if you make it high enough, you'll walk away, right? So that could be a useful tool for you. Should we talk about protein shakes at all? Or
yeah.
Okay, so protein shakes are good only because they're easy and quick. That's honestly, I mean, like you'd rather get your protein from like a high-quality source like a grass-fed beef or something like that. But we're all busy. A lot of times there's like a lot of people that think that they need to eat 30 minutes after they work out, which I actually adhere to myself. So I generally try to make a protein shake after a workout. Now, there's a lot of different brands out there. Shy away from the stuff that has more carbs in it. You want to get the stuff that has less carbs in it. And the idea is that those usually cost more money. So try to find like a happy medium for you that works for you. We could definitely recommend some brands, but I don't necessarily know if they're like better. Maybe, you know, I wouldn't say that my brand is the best. I would just say that that's just what I end up getting, and it's affordable for me, so that's what I do. But I usually do 2 scoops, and that's what I do for my protein shake. I only do 1 a day. I try to avoid getting into the habit of making protein shakes as meal replacement. I think of them as like snack replacement or meal supplement, but never meal replacement. And I think that's important because I just think it's better to get your vitamins and your source of protein from like real food whenever you can. If you want to, you could just add some, like, you know, vegetables to it and blend it together, and that's nice, right? That might be a nice meal replacement. But try to eat some actual meat every day. Don't try to just powder form it.
So what I like to do is put in 1 to 2 scoops, depending on what I need. Always try to get in some vegetables in there. So spinach, I like a lot. I know a lot of people like kale, but it doesn't really blend into the protein as much as far as the flavor goes. You can still put a lot of kale in if you're going for a fruity smoothie. But like, I like using chocolate whey protein. And if you put spinach in that, you don't even really taste it. So it's super easy way to get more vegetables and to make the protein shake a bit healthier. Ice is good too. I mean, it's really just kind of whatever flavors you like. If you need more carbs and it's a day you've worked out, you can put in some fruit. Berries are the healthiest, so like blueberries, raspberries, blackberries. Strawberries are okay, but they have a little bit more sugar. You don't want to do that immediately after workout because your body processes the fructose in the fruit a little bit differently. But any other time of the day, that's okay. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Is there really anything else? It's just protein shakes. It's simple.
Yeah, exactly. Just put the protein in the blender, add whatever you need to do. And
turn the blender on.
Yeah, exactly.
Put the top on. Put the top on, turn the blender on.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be miserable. So another thing is, let's talk about Tupperware and how to actually prep and divide these things out. So different people have different eating styles, right? I know people that are grazers, right? Like, I know Sasha is a grazer, this guy I work with. Tyler's a grazer. I'm like the opposite. In college, I think I ate one meal a day. Like now I eat two. I eat like a lunch and I eat like a dinner. That's basically it. And maybe a protein shake, right? So it really depends on how you eat. But what I recommend is cook your meal. Like let's say you're prepping everything all at once, right? Let's say like Sunday's your prep day. You cook everything. It's all set up. Find out how much you're going to eat in one day and just get the number of Tupperware containers to fit that number of times you want to eat. So if you eat 4 times a day, get 4 Tupperware containers. If you eat 6 times a day, get 6, you know, whatever you want to do, right? And obviously, if there's 6 of them, you're probably eating smaller amounts each time, right? I know, Tyler, you talked about using glass containers over plastic containers. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, not to get too hippy-dippy, but there's actually chemicals in the plastic that's bad for you when you heat it up. This isn't me being paranoid or some Dr. Oz shit. Actually, good medical research that shows you shouldn't really be heating up your food in plastic. I mean, even if it's not that bad for you, it's easy enough to get glass and just feels nicer. It feels like more of a meal. So I recommend getting glass Tupperware because then you can just take it out of the fridge straight into the microwave. There's some, too, that even can go from the freezer straight into the oven. So that's obviously something you're not going to be able to do with plastic.
All right, cool. I didn't know this, actually. This is something I found out after I've been heating plastic containers for the past 2 years.
So yeah, you're going to die, bro.
So I'm probably going to die of cancer. Most likely cancer. Anyway, so, I mean, that's basically it with Tupperware. I mean, it's not really rocket
science. Buy a bunch of the same size because it's easiest to put them in your fridge.
Yeah, yeah, like definitely.
Those,
don't get
mixed packs of different sizes are the worst. It seems like a good idea, but it's the worst.
Never get mixed packs because, like, you're going to want the same size because you're going to evenly portion, generally speaking. So, anyway, I definitely recommend not mixed sizes. And plus, they stack better.
Yeah. Glasslock is one of my favorite brands. It's definitely expensive. I can see why you wouldn't want to spend that much money on them. IKEA has some that are really similar to Glasslock and pretty reasonably priced and last just about as long. So that would be my other recommendation.
So I think with that being said, we'll open it up to any questions. I'm happy to talk about specific foods I eat, like that I think are taste good and like a reasonable content, but I don't want to just like rattle off a bunch of food because this would sound weird.
Okay, so there's some kind of chicken that you can buy which is already cooked. So you just need to eat it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see if that would be, you know, sufficiently high quality you use for the meat prep that you like, you know, where you
are you
prepare for the beef.
Are you talking like if you go to Whole Foods they have pre-cooked or Trader Joe's they have pre-cooked chicken, something like that?
Yes, which is already grilled, so you can grill it again or just eat it.
Yeah, so generally yes. I'll say a few things about that though. One, a lot of the times it's way more expensive to buy it that way. So just, it's not necessarily cost efficient. But if for example, you're more time, you're more worried about time, then that might be okay. Two, you have to be careful because a lot of the times they'll be like teriyaki chicken, right? That's already pre-cooked. So you want to make sure that you look at the back of the package and it's not like a bunch of sugar, a bunch of stuff that they added to it in order to make it taste better, right? So just make sure you look at the label. But if you get chicken that's pre-cooked and that's frozen and then you heat it up like that, there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. It's not as good as cooking it fresh because some of the nutrients go away when you freeze things. But it's not the end of the world. It's not the 80-20 rule. Yep. Is you're going to be fine, right?
Yeah, it'll get you most of the way there, especially if you were eating out before that. And another thing, like Jason was saying, a lot of them will say like teriyaki chicken or Mexican chicken or whatever it may be. Even some of the ones that are just plain chicken that don't have any flavor or sauce, they still add a lot of sodium to that. Yeah. So if you read the label and pay attention to the sodium, you'll be good. But just be aware of that. A lot of packaged foods, even if it's supposed to be organic, natural, whatever label they put on it, they still add sodium as a preservative.
Oh, maybe we should touch on that stuff. So organic, so labeling. Remember that most of these things that when you buy them, labeling is in the interest of them to sell the product, right? So a lot of stuff that's organic isn't actually really that much better for you. There's definitely stuff that is, but like, for example, with chicken, I would always go with free range or pasture raised over than like organic chicken, because organic chicken just means the feed that they give them is organic, but they could just still be locked up in a coop and can't grow and have lower quality meat. Cage, like, I think they have some other like weird terminology that just means that like you can actually, they just have to go outside for 5 seconds and then come back inside, right? So just make sure you look at that stuff. So I generally, my philosophy, and this is also just part of my philosophy to support local farmers and to help the environment, is I try to get local stuff because that's usually better. Use a lot of the local stuff, even if it's not organically grown, is better for the environment because it's just grown closer to home. Two, anytime you see like grass-fed beef or pasture-raised chicken, heritage a lot of times is a good sign. These are all good markers.
Wild-caught fish.
Wild-caught over farm-caught is farm-raised is great. But you just got to be careful. Like generally with protein, if they say it's organically raised, it's not bullshit because, I mean, they can give it organic food, but it doesn't actually make the protein that much better. This doesn't necessarily mean that it's raised in a better way. So just that's something about labeling. So just be aware that organic isn't necessarily better, but it's also there are things that are better than just like, you know, farm factory chicken. Okay. So does that answer your question or is there a second part to it?
No, that's good. Thank you.
Hey.
By the way, Jason doesn't always shop at Whole Foods.
No, I don't. I actually, well, before in New York, I was shopping at Fresh Direct because they would deliver, and I make them climb to my fifth-story apartment, which they say they don't, but I make them do it anyway. And that's the laziest shopping ever.
My question is this. I tried something this week. What I've been doing is I got really good quality turkey, and I've been making sandwiches with a lot of veggies and multigrain bread. Compared to the other meal options, how bad is this because of the bread? Keep in mind that I'm eating like tons of veggies inside, like spinach and lettuce and tomatoes.
So you're saying, is there a question, is multigrain bread worse or better than other breads?
No, the question is that compared to doing the meal prep, which we just talked about, right? Chicken with veggies and doing the whole meat prep, compared to that, how worse is this option of making like a sandwich?
So honestly, it depends on your goals. Again, if you're in a maintenance diet, some carbs are fine, and if you're not eating that much bread, it's fine. But if you're eating like, you know, six pieces of bread a day, that's probably way more carbs than you need. Bread is one of the most dense form of carbs around. So you got to be a little careful about how much you're eating and how much you're intaking. Like one option is if, for example, if you just love sandwiches, that's your deal. And you kind of calculate it where you're like, wow, I'm eating like twice the amount. You might consider open face sandwiches, instead of closed faces. That might help cut you down, or you might consider maybe, you know, wrapping it in lettuce instead. But it really depends on how much carb intake you want to do. What I would do is, look at the packaging of the bread, see how many carbs it has. And measure that with, you know, how many carbs you think you should be getting.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
All right.
I would also keep in mind that when you're looking at your macros and why you eat carbs, it's really an energy source, not anything else. Bread compared to white rice, sweet potatoes, white potatoes, it's a lesser form of an energy source, I guess. It's not as clean of an energy source as the other one, so it can cause a little bit more inflammation. What else? I mean, there's a few reasons why bread's not as good. I don't want to get too into it, but
yeah, generally speaking, if you had a preference, you should eat rice over bread, like white rice over bread. But I, to be honest, I think 80-20 rule is probably okay. I wouldn't say you should, if your bread sandwiches are your jam, like I wouldn't tell you to give it up. I would just try to tell you to just make sure that it's in line with what you need to do. That's what I would recommend. But definitely if you could switch to something else, I would say that rice is generally better than bread.
Yeah. Rice, sweet potatoes, quinoa, it's all gonna be better than bread, but cool. Good question. Anyone else? TJ?
I'm in the process of getting back into all my whole workout and diet routine. And I know, Jason, you were talking in the thread about, you know, briefly about my goals. And right now, I'm trying to eat a lot of protein and a lot more vegetables than I usually do, which is probably just like a normal amount for most people, and cut out most carbs. Definitely all like refined carbs, but besides vegetables, pretty much all carbs. And I'm trying to figure out how much protein a day about I should be consuming. Right now, I'm probably around 200 to 230 grams a day. And that is about 1.5 times my lean body weight. And so I don't know if that's too much or right around where I want to be.
What's your lean body weight?
I think it's like 140 is what I calculated.
140. So you're what you're saying is in your ideal weight, you want to be 160 pounds and about 12% body fat. Is that about right?
No, I think my ideal weight would be around 170.
Oh, 170 and 12% or what?
Right.
Okay, then I think that's a fine number of protein.
Yeah, in the fitness world, you'll see a lot of recommendations that say higher, like as much as 2 grams per pound. There, a lot of that comes from people trying to sell supplements, or guys who follow that stuff don't really have a medical science, weightlifting, nutrition, actual research background. So they hear what they see from the supplement companies and repeat it. If you look at the actual medical journals, though, 1.5 is a good number to stick to. Going above that isn't going to help you build muscle any faster.
So
1.5 grams per pound.
Yeah. So okay. One thing I would say is, how do you know you're getting too much or too little protein, right? So if you're getting too little protein when you work out and stuff, you'll have harder times recovering. It's either because you don't have enough protein or because you don't have enough carbs right at the end. So if you're trying to cut carbs, then I would definitely say if you're struggling to recover, like, let's say you're doing like 5x5 and you're working 3 times a week. And the second workout of the week, you're just like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And this is after you've adapted. You've been doing it for a while, right? It's not just like, you know, beginner soreness or whatever, onset muscle soreness. Mm-hmm. Then you might consider upping the protein. But okay. I'm going to guess if you fall into the, you know, 90% of the population, you're going to be finding that amount of protein. One thing I will say is you're still hungry most of the time, you might consider adding more fat to your diet.
Mm-hmm.
For more caloric content, just pure caloric content. So
avoid refined fats. You really want your coconut oil, your grass-fed butter, olive oil, avocado oil, macadamia oil, anything other than that. A good rule of thumb is it should be oily in nature. So if you look at soy, or if you look at like the plants that they get canola oil from, those are not oily, fatty plants. So they are heavily refined to get the oil, which is not as healthy for you. If you look at coconut oil, coconut's very fatty, so that's a good fat source. Same thing with olives.
That's a good point. Or you see a lot of duck and bacon.
Yeah, I mean, an easy rule of thumb is just stick to what seems natural.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And also for carbs, I know you're saying if I thought I was having trouble recovering, that it might be due to lack of carbs. Because I know over the summer I started doing like a lot of bulking, and I gained a huge amount of strength in terms of like how much I could lift, and I was eating like a shit ton of carbs every day. But now I'm trying to not eat, not any, but very low level. And I am noticing that I am a little bit weaker, which I'm assuming is to be expected. But is there like, for my goals, I'm trying to like kind of lose fat and gain muscle at the same time, which I know is difficult. But is that something I should be trying to cut out completely, or having like a little bit of carbs, or trying to sort of just see how it goes, feel it out?
So when you say weaker, what do you mean by weaker?
Just, I think I'm slightly slower progression in terms of like week to week, how much more I can lift.
The answer, unfortunately, it says it depends. I think specifically for you, what you're looking to do, you can go ahead and add some carbs after you work out. That wouldn't be the end of the world for you. Like for example, let's say you lift on at like, you know, 5 p.m. every day. Or let's say you lift 5 p.m. You're doing 5x5 three times a week, right? So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, let's say. So on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, after you lift, you might do a protein shake. And then for dinner, you might have 3/4 cups of rice. That should probably be fine for you. Your body will be able to use those carbs and into like recovery mode. And you'll get a nice little boost of caloric content. And it probably shouldn't affect your weight loss too much. Now, remember, that might mean you're going to be cutting your calories on the other days, right? So that you're just still at averaging about 500 calories lost per week if you want to be losing weight. Another alternative is you lose less weight, so you lose weight slower, right? But you're able to progress a little bit better, right? Or you just sacrifice progression to lose more weight, right? So all those, you have to look at it a continuum scale, not an either or situation.
Would that be any different, like losing weight versus just trying to? Because I don't really need to lose weight. I'm just kind of skinny fat, so I'm just trying to burn the fat at the same time. I'm not looking specifically at caloric intake. I mean, I am, but I'm not like, you know, I'm not like it doesn't have to be so much lower. I'm just trying to get the muscle up so we'll burn the fat, you know, over time.
The more lean muscle mass you have, the easier it is for your body to burn fat. So the kind of ironic things are like guys who have sub 10% body fat can eat a lot more carb because their bodies will burn it off a lot quicker. So what you want to do is over a longer period of time, you're trying to burn that fat and put on the muscle, right?
Right.
Yeah, so then adding more carb wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing because you'll put on some fat along with it, but you'll gain more muscle. And then you can down-regulate that, lower your carb intake a little bit, and then burn off more fat.
Okay.
So it's kind of just a matter of what your goal is and how fast you're able to reach it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And just adjusting as you go.
So just to be clear, TJ is talking about doing body recomposition, not necessarily losing weight or gaining weight, right? So body recomposition, you don't necessarily, you're kind of in maintenance mode with your diet. So you don't actually need to like subtract 500 calories or add 500 calories. You just need to find what your average weight is. Average caloric intake should be and do that. And then from that perspective, a little bit of carbs is not going to kill you, right? It's not. Like, even if you wanted to eat carbs every day, it's not going to kill you. But definitely if you time it, like on the days you work out, that's obviously better than not timing it. So.
Right. All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
So I would definitely recommend for you, If you don't feel like you're progressing as fast as you should, then you should eat a little more carbs because you're not trying to lose the weight. So just make sure that's crystal clear.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks.
All right. You guys got everything figured out. I expect to see you guys being.
Everyone needs to have 6-packs by the end of next week.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.